Can we all agree that we all love receiving gifts? Right? We love getting gifts. It was sophomore year in college. I had just become a believer in Christ. Unexpectedly, I went to the mailbox and there were chocolate chip cookies. As a college student, it was just an absolute treat to get overnighted chocolate chip cookies. And it was still nice and gooey and just like 5 seconds in the microwave. Perfect. Unexpected surprise. Amazing just to get just chocolate chip cookies like that. Now, you know, that's a little bit of thing that I do enjoy chocolate chip cookies. I do miss Neva's cookies on days when we folded the mosaics together. But topping receiving chocolate chip cookies was the gift of the first generation iPhone. I mean, I think we're like at 5, 6, we're gonna, 7 is about to come out. I received the first generation iPhone. And Tamar and I were engaged and living on the opposite sides of the country. She was finishing school and working part-time. And as I opened up this gift, I see this first-generation iPhone. I was completely shocked. It's probably one of the best gifts that I've ever received because knowing what she was going through, she was working part-time, and I know the cost of this phone. I didn't even want to spend the money to buy this phone. She knew that I appreciated the Apple products, the design of things. She knew that I studied design, and she had given me this gift, and it was just absolutely floored by this. She sacrificed a tremendous amount to express love that way. You see, I think unexpected gifts are great, but I think sacrificial gifts are even better. And there's this person that I know that has this philosophy on gift giving. Every now and then when it came to holidays, birthdays, anniversaries, me, him, and a couple of the guys would talk, and he would always communicate. He'd always tell me his philosophy on gift giving or buying gifts for his wife. He would always say this, Bobby Mike, you gotta keep the expectation bar low, because you know there's gonna be another birthday, there's gonna be another anniversary, there's gonna be another Christmas, and they're expecting you to give something better than what it was last year. So keep it low. I'm sure there are some that are not in agreement, but I was also saddened by this philosophy. Because my philosophy in gift giving is give the best you can to express your love to that person. Isn't that true? We all value gifts according to our taste, according to our preference. Some of us like gifts that are creative. Some of us enjoy surprises. Some of us want gifts that they've been saying they want. I want you to get me this. And comes Christmas, we don't get what we want. We're super disappointed. But we all love gifts. We all love getting gifts. The best unexpected sacrificial gift that we can all agree on is forgiveness. If we think about it, it's a gift. If someone commits a wrong against us, we can really hold on to that wrong, always be reminded by that wrong they did against us, never letting go, never forgetting about it. 101 years later, we're still holding on to it. That's not forgiving. That's holding a grudge. Then letting that fester, letting that create embitterment, eventually losing complete respect and love towards the person. Imagine a relationship. Imagine a marriage without forgiveness. Imagine really a friendship without forgiveness. Imagine if this concept of forgiveness didn't exist. Imagine if God wasn't described as forgiving. Imagine if the Christian faith wasn't based off of forgiveness. Wouldn't that change our view on God? Maybe we don't even believe or think that we need forgiveness from God. Maybe we're perfect. So who cares what Peter says in his sermon after the people, it says, were cut to the heart. They ask him, what shall we do? Peter says, repent and be baptized because you will receive the gift of forgiveness and the gift of the Holy Spirit. Why do we need forgiveness of sins from God? Maybe we don't even think we need to be forgiven by God. Does someone need to be forgiven from us? Do we need to ask for forgiveness from someone for something we've done. So in light of Memorial Day weekend, true freedom is found in the forgiveness of sins. The context of our passage, Peter just finished preaching the first evangelistic message there was since Jesus' resurrection. Peter just got done putting everything together. Remember about what Greg was talking about? God is behind the man behind the curtain. He's been putting everything in place historically. It all leads up to Jesus, and the reaction of the people are they're cut to the heart. I love the fact that when the Spirit ordains everything together to come together. You know, I was preparing this message. I didn't know that Brother Hakan was going to be there. I didn't know that Padre Greg was going to use the sword of the Spirit. And here I'm going, cut to the heart? This is the passage that we've got today? Cut to the heart? They were cut to the heart. Yes, I'm going to be using this all day today. It's going to come with me to the picnic too. Cut to the heart. They were cut to the heart. People realized in their hearts about this Jesus who did the miraculous, who taught the truth, who all the prophesied about, who's resurrected and is Lord. That's real. And the people go, light bulb, cut to the heart. Man, what was I thinking? This is all real. Peter, what shall we do? Repent and be baptized. Repentance is not a word that many people like. It's the definition of, if I'm going in this direction with my life, it's literally saying, I'm going to turn, I'm going to repent, and I'm going to start living in this manner. This is the way. But it's not only I'm going to say that I'm going to do that. My actions, my attitude is a complete, laman, higher utsun de gribidi tarnam. I'm going to completely be repented and turn this way. I'm going to get rid of my old lifestyle, my thinking, whatever that is dishonoring to God. And it's not here, the beauty behind this thinking, it's not just an overnight thing. It's not just, hey, Bodhvili Mugo is one day this complete sinner and he says, I'm going to repent and go this direction. It's a process. It started here and it's going to continue to go in this direction until I see my maker. Complete repentance. But then there's the other side of it, is that sometimes we think, well, you know what, I'm not perfect, this is the way I am, and this is the way I'm going to live, and that's not an excuse either. Repentance is acknowledging the wrong and striving on the course, and here's the thing, with the Spirit pressing into us, cutting into us and saying, look, what you just did is wrong, what you just said is wrong, the way you're living is wrong. An old dog cut by the Spirit will learn new habits in Christ. After he says, repent and be baptized, God actually promises two gifts to us. Not only do you get one, but you get two gifts today. You get two gifts, forgiveness of sins and the Holy Spirit. Think about what Jesus does for us on the cross. We have an opportunity to be free of guilt. We have an opportunity to be free of shame, to be free of fear. There's forgiveness for all the times we've been self-centered, jealous, judgmental, slanderous, deceptive. There's forgiveness for our critical minds and hearts. There's forgiveness for the anger we have with our spouses. Wait, it gets better. There's forgiveness for the anger and the rage that we exhibit with our coworkers. There's forgiveness for the impatience that we have for the person who cuts us off on the road. There's forgiveness for our laziness with God. There's forgiveness for our indifference towards Him. Don't we want to be free from all of it? Do we really think we don't struggle with anything I just said? Don't we want to be free? I mean, I was tired just writing that list. I'm tired for the amount of times I've had to deal with those things in my heart. I'm tired of it. And if the reality is, that's our human sinful nature. So when we can't be with Him when we die, that's our sinful nature. That's in the way of God who is holy and me who've got all these things. But God says, I'm giving you a gift. Instead of you rotting in hell, I'm going to give you a gift. You get to be with me. The forgiveness of sins on the cross. Amen. That doesn't cut you to the heart. That doesn't cut you to the heart. For me, the minute I started thinking, oh gosh, what's going to happen to me? Am I going to, what's going on? I don't know who Jesus is. I don't know what it's like, but I'm Armenian. I'm supposed to be a Christian. I don't know what anything. I don't even know what he could do. How's this going to happen? Bach chur, bach kardik me chavras. You know that phrase in Armenian? It's literally shaking, and it's like this cold sweat. You're like freaking out. You have an anxiety attack in that moment. I don't know what's going to happen to me. I'm going to be in hell forever? No. I need to find out who this guy's all about. Wouldn't we want to be free of that junk-filled life? Wouldn't we want to spend eternity with him? When one's been cut by the Spirit, they become crazy for Jesus. So not only does Jesus say, I'll die for you, and not only does Jesus say, I'm going to take on your sin, so that when God sees you, when we die, reality is we're going to die, when God sees you, he sees Jesus. He doesn't see you anymore. He sees Jesus. But get this, he says, I'm going to give you the Holy Spirit as well. So you're not going to just turn, repent, and be baptized. You're going to live the rest of this life with the Holy Spirit. God who created the universe, earth, is going to be with you forever, from now until you die. Can you get that into your head for a second? Imagine for a second, the God who says, let there be water, let there be light, let this happen. He just announced it by word. The power of that God is going to be with you until you die. So the minute you are scared for life, remember the God who is just announced by word that is with you. The minute that someone makes fun of you because you love Jesus, remember, Holy Spirit is with you. The minute you tremble because you have to get up here and preach, remember, the Holy Spirit is going to be up there with you. When one's been cut by the Spirit, they become crazy for Jesus. How great is that? So what's getting in the way of the Spirit speaking to us? Reminding us, transforming us. Are we more concerned about the way the world perceives us or the way God sees us? Isn't that something to be wowed by? Isn't that something to be wowed by? Yes. Imagine if God says, I'm not going to forgive your sin. Imagine if each sin costs a dollar. 36 years old, how many days, whatever, count the days, the hours, the amount of sin that I already committed this morning. Imagine if each sin costs a dollar. Wow. And he says, I'm gifting forgiveness to you. I'm gifting you my Spirit so that he can continue to prod and cut at you and say, remember what I've done for you, give you direction. When one's been cut by the Spirit, they're crazy for Jesus. And here's the interesting thing about this passage. You know, Peter goes through that section, goes from 37 to 41, and as it goes into 42 to 47, you see them go even more crazier. 42 to 47, we see all these people who've become believers, the 3,000 plus, they go nuts as a church or as a community. Okay, John Stott sums up the four major characteristics that were evident of these 3,000. Worshiping church, he called them the learning church, he called them the loving church, and he called them an evangelizing church. I wonder, going through all four, and if you wrote this down on here, I wonder, how would we score in these four categories as a church? Put it on your bulletin if you like. One being the worst, 10 being the greatest, and just start putting put your score on it. You don't have to show the person next to you, show me or anything, but let's go through these four real quick, because the burgers are waiting. Worshiping. Are we more concerned about getting out too late? Come on, you're supposed to be like, anyway, are we more concerned about getting out too late or that someone walked away from this sanctuary amazed, wowed, inspired by the Holy Spirit? When the church has been cut by the Spirit, they worship like crazy for Jesus. Number two, learning. Are we like a dry sponge ready to soak in the living water that Jesus offers through the Scriptures? Or are we, that's his interpretation of the word. You know what? I'll go listen to that. Whatever. Sometimes we're actually the opposite. Sometimes we think we know it all and we're perfect and we don't need to learn anything. But I love the fact that John Stott puts these in participle modes, because it's something that is continually happening until I'm 95 years old. God, I love to live to 95, but until I'm old and gray and about to die, I am still learning. I am still worshiping. I am still loving. I am still evangelizing. When the church has been cut by the Spirit, they study the scriptures like crazy. Sorry, this was out of order. Loving, this one's tough. This is why I call them crazy. Who in their right mind wants to share their goods? I worked hard for my stuff. You're not allowed in my house. You don't, my iPhone 6 Plus? No. I'm not going to give that up to you. My phone, my car, my money. Are you crazy? They sharing their goods. These are our prized possessions. The other day I was talking with someone, and I love the story that they shared. He was telling me that he had noticed this person who wasn't as financially as privileged, and they were struggling with their flip phone. I mean, okay, don't get me wrong. If you still have a flip phone, God bless you. But, you know, they're struggling with their flip phone, and they were texting to their wife. And, you know, if you had a flip phone, it takes forever to text to your wife. It's just faster to pick up the phone. And now smartphones, you can just visually see each other on the phone and all that. But they were struggling with their flip phone. And this person had a smartphone. And so they were going to get a new phone anyway. So what they did is they went to the store, got it all fixed up, paid X amount of money for a battery, paid all the new cords, get everything ready and good to go, and the person gifted their iPhone 5S to this person, spent an exorbitant amount of money, and could have given this phone and gotten a $200 credit towards this new phone. But yeah, okay, it's a simple example of a phone. $200, okay, maybe $350 total expenses out of pocket. And maybe we do more than that in terms of loving. That one's probably smaller than the one that I've always remembered. Is I knew another person who was struggling with a car. And another person recognized that this person was struggling with a car, got his car fixed up, and gifted his car to that family. You got kidding me. And that person who gifted the car ended up having one car for a family of five for 9 months, and struggled to get by, whatever, but knew the need, saw the need, gifted, and didn't count the pennies in the gift. That's love. That's absolute love. To give sacrificially without expecting anything back. When the community has been cut by the Spirit, they love with it, nothing in return. They love without strings. They love in words. They love for doing things for others. They love not keeping a record of it. They love each other crazy for Jesus. Evangelizing. There's a short book called Honest Evangelism by Rico Tice. It's a quick, nice summer read for you. If you like to get it. In the opening section, Rico Tice talks about two things. He talks about hit and hunger. And he talks about how he reflects on why people don't want to share the gospel. Why people don't want to talk about Jesus to others. Because they've been hit. They've been mocked. They've been ridiculed. They've been called all kinds of names because they shared the gospel. So because they've been hit, they don't want to share the gospel. But he says, as you share the gospel and as you get hit, maybe sometimes there's hunger that's revealed from that person. And he shares a story on how he was hit and mocked for his faith as a child, but then he receives a letter from one of those kids that mocked him for his faith, one of his school buddies, and expresses his hunger. That person expresses his hunger for faith. When the church has been cut by the Spirit, they're crazy for others to have, what they know. When the church has been cut by the Spirit, they become...